RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Communications Minister expecting TVRI to be light, NHK or BBC. Indonesia arrest 7 company executives for illegal forest fires. OJK laws foreigners to have savings balance about $1 million. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Communication and Information Minister Rudiantara will lead for Japan on Tuesday, 17th of September, on a three-day official visit with a number of agendas. One of them is to visit NHK, the Japanese public broadcasting station, to study how the Japanese state television station can strive. He told Tempo on Wednesday night, September 16, that he will study NHK, how its operational and strategic aspects look like. So far, TVRI Indonesian State Television can be similar to NHK Japan, BBC UK, and ABC Australia. Minister Rudiantara wants TVRI to learn from NHK. TVRI is later expected to strive like other broadcasting giant companies in foreign countries. Indonesian police nabbed 7 corporate executives on Wednesday in connection with illegal forest fire across Sumatra and Kalimantan as part of the wide-ranging effort to arrest the smoke crisis. Suspects from the latest burst included a senior executive from Bumi Mekar Hijau, a unit of Singapore-based Asia Pulp and Paper APP, which is also Indonesia's largest pulp and paper producer. The national impetus revealed on Wednesday includes deploying more police personnel to help with firefighting and handling probes against culprits and increasing cloud seeding sorties to douse the blazes, especially those burning on dry peatlands. These carbon-rich peatlands produce the thick smoke that has blanketed many parts of Indonesia as well as neighbors' countries like Malaysia and Singapore in recent weeks, bringing the air quality down to unhealthy and sometimes hazardous levels. The government's pledge to step up enforcement and expand cloud seeding operations as air pollutant levels improve owing to the rain on Wednesday raises hope among millions affected by the smog. Indonesian Financial Services Authority OJK announced Wednesday that foreign nationals residing in Indonesia are allowed to have bank saving accounts under a number of requirements. The OJK allows foreigners to have a saving balance of more than $1 million. The provisions are stipulated in a POJK's circle number as 246-01-2015 on the simplification of opening a saving account on foreign currencies by non-Indonesians. The circular was issued on September 15, 2015. OJK Chief Mulyaman Hada said that they have sent the circulars to all directors of commercial banks that offer banking services denominated in foreign currencies. Investors are waiting government assertiveness in continuing the bullet train project. Economic and Development Attaché for Japanese Embassy to Indonesia, Yoshiko Kijima, said the Japanese government is just waiting for the interests of private parties because it doesn't have a state-owned company that can be appointed to work on the project. According to Kijima, the Japanese government is also having a hard time deciding because the state-owned ministry has yet published specifics of the project plan, whereas it has been named by President Joko Widodo to continue Jakarta-Bandung bullet train project planned with B2B business concept. Kijima said that because there has not been any announcement from the state-owned ministry, there has not been any action from Japanese investors who are actually interested in the project. Based on the information published in the Secretary Cabinet's website recently, President Joko Widodo said the Jakarta-Bandung bullet train project is not cancelled. The project will continue, but it will not be using the state budget and insurance from the country. Malaysian Natural Resources and Environment Minister Dr. Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jafar will meet his Indonesian counterpart in Jakarta next week to discuss measures to tackle transboundary smog. He said the meeting would include talks on Memorandum of Understanding by Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, Brunei, Darussalam and Thailand on action to be taken during the occurrence of smog. Malaysia will discuss what sort of collaboration Malaysia can have during the meeting on September 25th. One area is how that Indonesia put fire in Kalimantan and Sumatra. Malaysia realizes there are certain obstacles in Indonesia regarding Malaysian ability to give assistance. Under Indonesian federalism, a province has to declare an emergency before the central government can step in an aim to help. Dr. Wan Junaidi also hoped that Indonesia would take steps to prevent forest fires from occurring, such as by installing tube wells in the pit soil areas as Malaysia had done. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has congratulated the new Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull. Spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry Armanata Kristiawan Nasir to Airable Service Voice of Indonesia said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the inauguration of Malcolm Turnbull as the new Prime Minister of Australia is expected to improve and enhance the bilateral relation between the two countries. Foreign Minister has submitted a statement that we congratulated Malcolm Turnbull as the new Prime Minister, and of course we continue to expect the relationship between Indonesia and Australia, as the neighboring and friendly countries, to continue to develop together. We are ready to work with the new cabinet of new Prime Minister Turnbull. So that's what we always expect, our reports to improve and enhance the relationship between Indonesia and Australia. Furthermore, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir said the Indonesian government welcomes the willingness of Malcolm Turnbull, who has vowed not to do the demolition, censor, default or against other nations as has been done by the previous Australian Prime Minister. According to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull can establish a good basis on mutual interest and respect. The last item, Indonesia will enjoy demographic bonus or productive age from 19 up to 40 years old in the next several years. Economy observer of the University of Pajajaran Bandung, Purna Gunawan, to media after discussion in Economic Research Center of the Indonesian Science of Institute LIPI in Jakarta on Wednesday said Indonesia must be able to take advantage of such challenge by doing concrete action because Indonesia has relatively short time to increase productively competitive edge. Demographic bonus is coming closer. Indonesia has only 5 years to prepare it. Indonesia has the opportunity to take advantage by having bit productive population compared to the unproductive population. But the productive population must be observed by the existing market. Purna Gunawan also explained that the bonus demography must be supported by the government to speed up the process of increasing human resources. So Indonesia is more prepared for the demography bonus. The demography bonus also needs government policy to develop the human resources. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, our commentary today entitled Indonesia Fighting Against Smog. Land and forest fires that have occurred over the last few months resulted in a thick smog that blankets some areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan. This condition has been categorized as an emergency situation because it disrupts people's lives.
The government and other related agencies are urged to immediately COVID it. This mode has disrupted 6 regions in Indonesia, especially South Sumatra, Jambi, Riau, West Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, and South Kalimantan. Even it also spreads to neighboring countries like Malaysia and Singapore. In Sumatra, the mode covers 80% of its territory. Indonesian government has carried out some measures to overcome the effects of this mode. In the cabinet meeting discussion about the mode at the presidential office in Jakarta some time ago, President Joko Widodo ordered that all related parties have to overcome the mode. Fighting against the mode is nationally implemented under the coordination of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Head of the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, Shamsul Ma'arif said, the handling of the mode will be carried out intensively. One of the votes is by opening posts to cope with the mode in 6 provinces in Sumatra and Kalimantan. The assistance of the post is to strengthen the handling of the mode on the location which has been running so far. President Joko Widodo also assigned Indonesian military chief General Gatot Nurmantio to help provide military aircraft and deploy personnel. President Joko Widodo asked relevant ministers and institutions to concentrate and mobilize the working programs of the government to the provinces affected by the smoke. In the short term, the government uses an artificial rain and extinguishes the fires from air and on land. A number of aircraft are deployed to extinguish fires in Riau, South Sumatra, South Kalimantan, West Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, and Jambi. Smoke brings about a serious impact not only on health but also on the economy, education, and the environment. In addition, it also impacted some neighboring countries. The government has fought against the smoke to prevent forest fires, but it cannot do it alone. Solid cooperation among law enforcers and all the components of the society are needed to cope with the smoke and to prevent the recurrence of the forest and land fires. Listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History over at Rival Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on September 17, 1945, when Indonesian Red Cross Society was created. Indonesian Red Cross Society, IRCS, is a humanitarian organization in Indonesia. It is a member of International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. The IRCS was created on 17th of September 1945, exactly 1 month after Indonesian independence. Former President Sukarno ordered his inception when a battle between Indonesian soldiers and Allied troops broke out, leaving many wounded people on that of September 1945. Based on the performance, IRCS received an international recognition in 1950, and it was accepted as a member of International Red Cross and achieved its legal status through Presidential Decree No. 25/1959, which was later reinforced by Presidential Decree No. 245/1946. The next event was in 1978 when the Camp David Accords were signed. The Camp David Accords were signed by former Egyptian President Anwar al-Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Manasseh Begin on 17 of September 1978, following 12 days of secret negotiation at Camp David. The two Prenwood agreements were signed at the White House and were witnessed by former United States President Jimmy Carter. The second of these Prenwood, namely a Prenwood for the conclusion of a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, were led directly to the 1979 Egypt-Israel peace treaty. Due to the agreement, Sadat and Begin received the SIR 1978 Nobel Peace Prize. The first Prenwood, namely a Prenwood for Peace in the Middle East, which deal with the Palestinian territories, was written without participation of the Palestinians and was condemned by the United Nations. Well, listener, the last event was in 1988 when the 1988 Summer Olympics was held. The 1988 Summer Olympics, officially known as the Games of the 24th Olympics, were an internationally multi-sport event celebrated from 17 of September to 2 October 1988 in Seoul, South Korea, in which 2 years before the Asian Games were celebrated, which took place from 20 of September and 5th of October 1986. They were the second Summer Olympic Games to be held in Asia, and the past since 1964 Summer Olympic held in Tokyo, Japan. They were also the fourth Olympic Games to be held in autumn. These were the last Olympic Games for the two of the world's dominating sport powers, the then Soviet Union and East Germany, as both ceased to exist before the next Olympic Games. North Korea still officially at war with South Korea and its allies Albania, Cuba, Madagascar, and Sylhet boycotted the Games. For the different reasons, Ethiopia, Nicaragua, and Albania, that declared an Olympic record fourth consecutive boycott, did not participate in the Games. However, the much larger boycott seen in the previous three Summer Olympics were avoided, resulted in the largest ever number of participation nations during the Cold War era. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Well, listener, our focus today entitled The Government Takes Concrete Measures to Face 2015 ASEAN Economic Community. To face ASEAN Economic Community 2015, AEC, Indonesian government is taking three concrete measures. Indonesian Manpower Minister Muhammad Hanif Dakiri said that the first step is the acceleration of the Indonesian National Qualification Framework, called nationally KKNI, and Indonesian National Competence, SKNNI, in all sectors. The second one is the acceleration of the implementation of Manpower Competence Certification for Indonesian workers who are recognized nationally and internationally. The third point is that the control of foreign workers into Indonesia and all at once Indonesian workers are encouraged to compete with foreign workers. Minister Hanif Dakiri affirmed that actually Indonesia is getting ready for the implementation of the 2015 AEC. According to Minister Hanif, both Indonesian government and manpower sector must be ready to face ASEAN Economic Community. Thus, all relevant sectors, agencies, and institutions throughout Indonesia have to be involved. In addition, Minister Hanif Dakiri added that in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, the improvement of human resources competitiveness must be applied through the acceleration of the Indonesian National Qualification Framework and Indonesian National Competence. He said that Indonesian interest is to be accelerated to encourage National Qualification Framework and the Indonesian National Competence. So the profession and the need in all sectors of Indonesian workers gain international recognition. Furthermore, Mr. Hanif said the government is speeding up the implementation of the Job Competence Certification for Indonesian workers that can be recognized nationally and internationally. Meanwhile, Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, asked the relevant parties to immediately overcome various complex obstacles to face the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. He said Indonesia still has some obstacles when joining the ASEAN Economic Community. According to Hassan, these obstacles are inadequate quality of education, low quality of Indonesian employment. He also said that the condition of infrastructure in many areas is still considered inadequate, weak industrial sector and influx of imported products. Thus, Chairman Hassan Sukipli asked the government of the Republic of Indonesia, as one of the initiators of the formation of ASEAN Economic Community, to immediately take a number of strategic policies. With the creation of ASEAN Economic Community, ASEAN member countries will implement a single market so that all are free to sell their products. The implementation of ASEAN Economic Community also enables Indonesia to be more competitive among ASEAN member countries. On the other hand, professor at the Faculty of Economics at the University of Indonesia, Primansa, said that to face ASEAN Economic Community 2015, there is no other option except for Indonesia to accelerate preparation in the remaining time of the 2.5 months. According to him, a number of domestic issues should not distract Indonesia to keep focusing on preparing to face ASEAN Economic Community. Indonesians' readiness to face AEC will determine whether Indonesia as a main subject can optimize the open market in the ASEAN region or just be an spectator or an object. ASEAN Economic Community is not only challenge, but it is also economic opportunity for national, local business people, national labor and small-medium businesses. ASEAN Economic Community opens national products and services for both domestic and international market, in which there are around 625 million consumers in ASEAN region. The market of 10 ASEAN member countries is very promising, remembering that the economic contribution of the 10 countries' gross domestic product GDP of the world is big enough. Listener, that's Focus Today, presented by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Thursday, September 17, 2015 in Jakarta. Compass Daily writes in its headline about the certainty of interest rate still be awaited. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting of U.S. Central Bank, the Fed, is expected to give certainty about the timing and amount of increase in interest rates. This certainty will ease the turmoil in global financial markets. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting takes place on 16 to 17 September local time. Uncertainty about the time and the amount of increase in the Fed's benchmark interest rate caused turmoil in global financial market. Indonesia also affected, among others, the weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar. However, the rupiah weakened not alone, because the majority of the world's currencies also weakened. While Media Indonesia writes in its headline about perpetrators of land burning are in a blacklist, Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered firmly crackdown that provide a deterrent effect against perpetrators of forest fires. Besides, they are demanded to criminal and civil penalties. The companies that prove to burn the land will be blacklisted. Following the president's orders, the police chief, General Badruddin Haiti, stated his party is investigating 27 corporations. Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, confirmed it will go through three processes of sanction, namely from the hold, suspended license, to revoke the license. Tempo also writes its headline about heavy sanctions threaten perpetrator of land burning. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said the government demanding civil and criminal penalties to companies that proved to burn the forest and land. Civil action carried out by investigators of the Ministry of Environment. Police handled the criminal case. Minister Luhut said the company will be subject to arson, revoked its license, and demanded to restore the function of the land.
the blacklist granted to directors, commissioner, and owners. Currently, three companies in Ogan Ilir, South Sumatra, allegedly set fire to plantations. According to Luhut, decisive legal action is aimed at improving the enforcement system of environmental crime on the orders of President Joko Widodo. And we conclude today's segment of newspaper headline by seeing a headline from Business Indonesia about prior to the vexation, BI rate still survive. Bank Indonesia is expected not to have opportunity to move the benchmark rate before getting certainty the result of the Federal Open Market Committee meeting on 16 to 17 of September, so the market is projecting the BI rate to survive on 7.5%. From nine economies who are surveyed by Business Indonesia, all sides predict interest rate reference of the central bank will remain at 7.5% or survive since February 2015. Some economies even mention the opportunity of BI rate to drop after the rupiah eroded by the encouragement devaluation of yuan in mid-August. Listener, that was headline from national newspapers published today in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara will leave for Japan on Tuesday 17 of September on a three-day official visit with a number of agendas. One of them is to visit NHK, the Japanese public broadcasting station, to study how the Japanese state station can strive. He told Tempo on Wednesday night on September 16 that he will study NHK, how its operational and strategic aspects look like. Indonesian police nabbed seven corporate executives on Wednesday in connection with illegal forest fires across Sumatra and Kalimantan as part of a wide-ranging effort to arrest the smoke crisis. Suspects from the latest bust included a senior executive from Bumi Mekar Hijau, a unit of Singapore-based Asia Pulp and Paper (APP), which is also Indonesia's largest pulp and paper producer. Indonesian Financial Services Authority (OJK) announced on Wednesday, 16 of September, that foreign nationals residing in Indonesia are allowed to have bank savings accounts under a number of requirements. The OJK allows foreigners to have saving balance of more than $1 million. Investors are waiting government assertiveness in continuing the bullet train project. Economic and Development Attaché for Japanese Embassy to Indonesia, Yoshiko Kojima, said the Japanese government is just waiting for the interest of private parties because it does not have a state-owned company that can be appointed to work on the project. Malaysian Natural Resources and Environment Minister Dr. Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jafar will meet his Indonesian counterpart in Jakarta next week to discuss measures to tackle transboundary smog. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister has congratulated the new Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull. Spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kriswan Nasir to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the integration of Malcolm Turnbull as the new Prime Minister of Australia is expected to improve and enhance the bilateral relations between the two countries. Indonesia will enjoy demographic bonus or productive age from 19 up to 40 years old in the next several years. Economic observer of the University of Pajajaran Bandung, Purna Gunawan, to media after discussion in Economic Research Center of the Indonesian Science of Institute LIPI in Jakarta on Wednesday, said Indonesia must be able to take advantage of such challenge by doing concrete action because Indonesia has relatively short time to increase productively competitive edge. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Jember Regency preparing Watu Ulo Beach attractions, Bande Alit Beach, and Payangan as an alternative tour. Previously, Tanjung Papuma was recognized as a major destination of tourists visiting Jember. The three beaches has exciting potential to be developed, such as Payangan Beach, that suitable as the place for various events because Payangan has an area of about 20 hectares of hills, while Watu Ulo is suitable for surfing tour. Besides the two beaches, you also can find a beach which is prepared to attract tourists. The local government is preparing Bande Alit Beach to accommodate foreign tourists. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to visit one of the three beaches, Bande Alit Beach. The beach is located in Meru Betiri National Park, or more precisely in the Andong Rejo Village, Tampurejo Subdistrict, Jember Regency. The beach offers beautiful panoramic to be visited. The beach is located in southern Jember, about 35 kilometers from the city center. From Surabaya, the capital of East Java Province, you must go first toward Jember. It takes about 5 hours. From the center of Jember, Bande Alit Beach can be reached by land transportation for approximately 3 hours. If you are lucky, you can see deer and wild bulls at the beach. Bande Alit Beach has a beautiful panorama and clean. On the beach, there is a lot of tourism potential and interesting attractions to be enjoyed. Tourist attractions that you can enjoy, among others, Timor deer breeding plots. Then for those of you who like orchids, you can visit the Greenhouse Orchid, which contains a large collection of orchids in Meru National Park. For those orchids lovers, you will definitely like this place because many rare orchids that are not exist anywhere, you can find there. The beach has also white sand and column waves, so you can do water sport here such as bodyboard, jet ski, windsurfing, swimming, and canoeing. Bande Alit is also known with a lot of fish, so fishing activity at the place is also enjoyable. Listener, if you walk around the east coast of Bandy Island, you can see the White River estuary forms a lake overgrown with mangrove vegetation, which is dominantly grown with padada. On the edge of the estuary, you can find a cottage for those who will spend the night here. But unfortunately, there is no restaurant, so you have to bring your own foods. Down to the eastern part, you can do bird watching activity, canoeing, or down to the river by speedboat. This attraction is equipped with various facilities such as cottage, toilets and bathroom, camping ground, generator, solar cell, shelter, and speedboat. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bandy Island Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Today's edition presents you the National Transportation Day. Stay tuned. Ministry of Transportation is a ministry in Indonesia which handles various things related to transportation in Indonesia. As a big country consisting of several islands, Indonesia certainly faces difficulty in managing means of transportation in all over the islands. Therefore, the government forms Ministry of Transportation. Various kinds of public transport modes are created to give comfort to Indonesian people. Today, the Indonesian Minister of Transportation is served by Ignatius Jonan. To commemorate the dedication of Transportation Ministry in giving the best transportation modes to Indonesians, September 17th is chosen as the National Transportation Day. To commemorate the National Transportation Day, the Indonesian Ministry of Transportation holds some events. Besides flag ceremony in the Yard of Transportation Ministry, they also conduct blood donor and social aid distribution to railway track doorman and lighthouse keeper in various border areas and remote areas in Indonesia. Service quality increase for public is also done on that day. Not so many Indonesian people know that September 17th is commemorated as the National Transportation Day. However, it doesn't discourage the spirit of Transportation Ministry to keep improving the quality of various kinds of public transportation in various regions in Indonesia. Indonesia is huge with several islands, that it is a big challenge for the ministry to provide comfortable and easy facilities for Indonesian people. It is because good and comfortable means of transportation may allow domestic and foreign tourists to explore Indonesia until its remote areas. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on the National Transportation Day in Indonesia. Hopefully on this day, Indonesian people can enjoy the result of the hard work done by Transportation Ministry after all this time. Thank you for listening. I'm Harnita. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to bands named Felix Band and Krishna Band. Many experience in playing music for a long time, making Felix Band accepted Menpora Cup title in 2008. They also have a simple desire, similar to the desire of many boy bands that want to enliven Indonesian musical industry. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Selain Aku by Felix Band. Happy listening.
Aku sedih dan terluka. Kau di sampingku dengan air mata di pipimu. Kau katakan kau telah temukan seseorang selain diriku. Apa salahku kepadamu? Aku menangis walau tertahan. Coba ku redam perih hatiku. Meski berat akan ku terima, karena kau telah memilih dia. Aku sedih dan seorang selain diriku. Apa salahku kepadamu? Aku menangis walau tertahan. Coba ku redam perih hatiku. Meski berat akan ku terima, karena kau telah
Listener Felix Band originated from the friendship of six young men who later developed a band. After some personal change that occurred in July 2007, then they formed Felix Band with formation Tutut the vocalist, Afeng and Rio guitarist, Lutfi bassist, Rengo keyboardist, and Nopika the drummer. Their band name was inspired by a movie character of a cat known as Felix the Cat. The cat is a depiction of their desire to be popular among all circles of society. So they agreed to call themselves Felix. In forging their stage experience, Felix often participated in various band festivals. Then increased to the opening band for top band's performance in the country. After they got experience in many stages, Felix Band then recorded their song's composition in the form of a demo. They agreed to call their music with Happy Pop. Felix brought excitement to their fans that they called Felix Force or F Force. Felix now working with Pilar Music Company and ready to enliven the Indonesian music industry through their debut album entitled Terbaik with a hit single Tak Ada Rencana Mendua. A cheerful song that sung with power vocals in a powerful pop rock musical arrangements. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tak Ada Rencana Mendua by Felix Band. Happy listening.
Ah, aku marah sama kamu. Kau selalu salahkan aku. Aku bosan sama kamu. Kau selalu cemburu. Dan ah, apa yang harus aku lakukan agar kau mau mengerti ini dan itu telah kulakukan. Tapi kau tetap cemburu. Begini, aku bisa jadi gila. Aku bisa tambah jantung karena mikirin kamu. Karena mikirin kamu yang selalu marah-marah, yang selalu curiga, tak mau percaya aku, tak mau percaya. Agar kau mau mengerti ini dan itu telah kulakukan. Tapi kau tetap cemburu. Oh, oh. Kalau begini aku bisa jadi gila. Aku bisa tambah jantung karena mikirin kamu. Kirim kamu yang selalu marah-marah, yang selalu curiga, tak mau percaya aku, tak mau percaya aku. Sumpah mati tak ada rencana untuk mendua, percaya.
Listener, before we conclude today's segment of Music Corner, now we turn to a group of five young musicians from Semarang, Central Java, namely Dani, vocalist, Misty, guitarist, Andre, keyboardist, Ipung, the bassist, and Leon, the drummer, who join in Krishna Band and presents a unique music. In their music, they admitted inspired by the music of the Coldplay band and Vertical Horizon, who present a smart pop music genre. According to Dani, the process of making the album entitled Gadis Putih Abu, combining pop music, Brit pop, and orchestra. The making process of the first album, Krishna Band, helped by the excellent and talented musicians such as the vocalists of Zigaz Band, Zian, Budi Drive, and Rizky, who also music arranger of Agnes Monica. Andre, the keyboardist, said, Zian and Budi has a little bit changed to many musical material that Krishna made before going to the studio. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aku Di Sampingmu and Maaf or Ku Telah Bersamanya by Krishna Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Kita terus melupakan segala yang pernah jadi indah. Kita terus menyesali apa yang telah kita perbuat. Untuk itu kita hidup. Biarkanlah semua berlalu, jejak langkah yang ditinggalkan jadi indah. Teruslah melangkah bersama.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information
as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Kau selalu membuatku terluka. Berulang kali ku coba mengerti, menerima semua. Kini tiada lagi percaya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.